Hello, ghost hunters. Tonight we're going to talk about some more ghosts I've seen in Scotland, or uncanny experiences, if you will. So first of all, I want to talk about ghost lights. Will of the Wisp, the Will of the Wisp, if you ever saw such a thing or heard of it. This phosphorescent thing, this seems to happen over marshy bogs or marshland. Very common. I've seen it often in Scotland. Will-o'-the-wisp is something you see often. Two times stick it in my head, and they were both at graveyards. That's kind of creepy. And the first time I was fishing, me and my friend were fishing, and I walked back to where we parked the cars. So the rain got very, very heavy. So what we decided to do was go over this little wall into a graveyard because there was a. There was a little kind of hut. I call it a hut. It's not really a hut. It was like a, it was almost like stone flagstones built like that, and it was like a, just a covering. Almost looked like a bus shelter. That's the best example I can think of. But it was made of stone. And what it was probably for was the sextant, grave digger or whatever, to recover from, extreme weather, get in there. And you gotta remember, this is Scotland, and little graveyards like that can be in the middle of nowhere. Quite a bit to go to get safe or out of a bad storm or whatever. Back in the day, these are very old graveyards. So we went in there. Two of us sitting there. There was a little kind of stone bench, flagstone bench. Just kind of abandoned their fishing poles and got up there and sat there, and the rain was just like pelting down. And I was like soaking wet, so I was kind of snuggled up in my big coat like this, and I had my hood over me, and I was like this, just sitting there trying to get some heat. And I had a thermos of hot tea, oddly enough. That was a good thing, a lifesaver. And I was sitting there, so I think I fell asleep, and I just remember my jacket getting tugged, tug 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 tug, and I'm going, get off, get off, and my friends. Tugging these and he wouldn't speak, he was just pointing. And over across the graveyard was a phosphorescent blue light. It was the Will of the Wisp, one of the clearest ones I ever saw. I mean, quite often you see them far away in the distance. So this thing was just over there, and we watched it in the dark. Quite a scary, scary thing. Often seen in graveyards. Some people say the Argos. Yeah, I don't know. But what is interesting about it, and I'll get to that one in a minute, is they tend to recede away from you if you try and approach them. Is that almost as if it's acknowledging you? And certainly I've experienced that. So we watched that thing for a while, and then we left because I'm very uncomfortable with a thing like that. Some people would even argue in the past that they were trying to, that this is like something trying to lure you. So, the second time I saw one was at a private cemetery, which was off the roads, off the beaten track. It was down a little muddy track, very muddy actually, and beside a river which had recently flooded. There'd been torrential rain, a week of rain, terrible rain, and so bad that the whole place flooded, So the rain had now receded, but the ground was soaking wet, mud, thick, deep mud. And the rain had gone, the weather had changed again, and I was coming along this track. I saw the thing. This thing over at the graveyard. Just a light. Wasn't as bright as the one I just described, but light moving, just moving. Phosphorescent, will-o'-the-wisp type thing. Some people call them ghost lights. Did I say that already? And I saw this thing. Now, my friend Willie, he's probably brain better than I when it comes to these things. He decided we'd go after it. Go after this thing. Find out what it is. So we climbed over this fence. It was such an old place that they'd actually closed down the fence. The road, that muddy track that once took you to that graveyard, is no longer there. It's just a fence. So we climbed over the fence and started heading towards it. And in this case, pretty soon we got into a lot of mud, we were walking into mud, and deeper and deeper and deeper. And I said to him, Let's stop. Let's just stop here. It's like quicksand or something. I don't like this. Things trying to lure us to our death or something. That's what it felt like. And that was a scary, scary thing. So, oddly enough, we found a sort of little path, which was a bit from the ground, and we got onto that. Covered in mud, our jeans were all muddy, and we walked down that a bit. And as we got to this thing, this is what I think freaked me out about it. It's often people say the light will recede in front of you, it will move away from you, it will keep moving away from you. And this thing moved towards the river. But towards the river was an old dry stain wall. We have dry stain, or dry stone as you might say it, outside of Scotland, but it's a dry stain. It's a dry stain dike. And what I noticed about this thing, in dry stain dikes is often what's called a stile, and it's like steps over. You know, it could be, in the older ones, it was rocks, you know, built into the wall. You could step over it for farmers or whoever used those fields to move around. Recent times, I've seen it with wooden ones. People build these things. But this was rocks protruding from, you know, stones protruding from the wall you're meant to climb over. And to me, it just went to where the stile was, right? I mean, there was nobody there, just this ghost light. And when it got to the stile, it kind of just, how it floated over it and down out of sight into the darkness. And that freaked me out. It was like something actually acknowledging us, moving away from us. That's to me the weirdest thing about ghost lights. I wanted to say something about ghost lights. Because that's a big issue, isn't it? You know, big thing in Scottish things. You know, you find fields and good chance you'll see one. Graveyards are quite a common place. It's quite a scary thing when you see it. What is it? Is it marsh gas? Why graveyards? You know, why a graveyard? And why this thing? I mean, it's like, this is what gets me about it. It's almost as if it responds to you. It reacts to what you do. And that's my experience of it. Yeah, my friend lived in a farmhouse. This farmhouse came down to him. I think it was his grandparents. And very old building. Very, very old. It was a bizarre place. I mean, so he had to renovate it. When he got it, the well, this is insane. It actually had a well room attached to the house, you know. And you went in, there was a big hand crank well thing that brought the water up from the ground, and that was the well. And it was like the ground was like paved with flagstone in that room, and there was a door to the outside in that room. A lot of industry on the farm happened in that room, if that makes sense. You know, things that you prepare for the house, and this will make sense in a minute why I say this. And when he first got that house, he decided to, he's a bit rough and ready person, he doesn't really care about stuff, you know, he's a bit, let's just say he doesn't put a lot of value in material things, he's a minimalist, you know, so to me, when he got that, he said, okay, I'm just going to move in, I said, at the time people were saying, don't you want to, like, you know, do it up a bit or whatever, nah, I'm just going to move in, going to move in and work on it as I'm in the place and just, which is probably a good idea, to be quite honest. Saves a lot of money in the long run for accommodation or whatever. He moved in. And moving into him was initially just sleeping on a camp bed. The house was, like, pretty empty. Except for an office. The office had furniture and, you know, I guess that's where the farm was run from. You know, his grandfather or whatever did all that. And there was a quite extensive library, I recall, going there and seeing that. Interesting. Old library, in the office. It was all like old shelves all around. I can remember a big green leather chair, an incredible table, desk rather. Old furniture and definitely worth preserving because it was a bit worn but nice and old. Yeah, so I like stuff like that. But him, his whole thing was moving in with a camp bed and a microwave. I'm in residence, so that was kind of his life, you know. But he was going to work on it, and that's fair enough. I mean, it's an incredible thing to inherit an old property like that. I think he was reading one night, as the story goes, and he heard noises in the well room, and it was chop 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 like this, chop, chop, chop. And it went on and on and on, and he's trying to ignore it because he thought, I don't like that. So he kind of ignored it. Then he looked out in the corridor, put the lights on, went down the corridor to the war room, and there's nothing. So he went back to the room, and this went on for several nights. And then I was there, and we're sitting there, just talking, and suddenly, chop, 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 chop. And he said, what does that sound like to you? I said, it sounds like someone chopping wood. So off we again, we went to the war room, where basically things like that would have happened in the past, and there's nothing there. But as we're standing there, the world began to go by itself. It actually began to, it's a big handle, it started to move. And that was not the noise. That was not the noise of the chop chop. And he did not stay another night in that house. He actually sold the place. That day, he said, you know, you stay the night with me, you just stay here, will you stay here? And I said, okay. So I just slept in a chair, he was in his thing, and we kind of stayed awake talking all night. And in the morning, he moved into his mother's because he said, I don't like that place. And that made his mind up for him that he just didn't want to live there. So that was an interesting story about that. But you know, it's strange, he was just young, we were young. And he looks back now and he says it wouldn't bother him now. So he just, at the time, it was kind of freaked him out. Now he would be quite comfortable with it. So it's an age thing, you know, you grow out of these things. Me, I've lived in haunted buildings. I exercise them if I don't like what I'm hearing or seeing. I exercise the building. I exercise it. That's what I do. Little thing, bell, book, and candle. I get the stuff out, the apparatus, and I will exercise the building. And I've done this in two places where I've lived, and that was the end of it. That's not the only thing. A similar story. That was the story of the well and the firewood, which I, you know, is a true thing. I totally experienced that with my friend. I don't have an explanation to this day. I don't know what it was. The best I could say was that what someone suggested, floated an idea. And he said, well, there's a lot of old mine workings around there. Could you have been hearing old things collapsing under you, you know, under the ground and all kinds of stuff? And I don't know. Not part of Lanarkshire. True enough, there is old mine workings. But I'm not really sure. I definitely heard chop, 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 chop. It was just him and I, and we were sitting there in the same room, listening to this, two rooms away. Very frightening old building. He got rid of it. Something that happened in another friend's house. And this is a farmhouse again. But when the house was asleep, you know, my friend used to have us go round the back. He had a room down at the back of the place, and these walls were like so thick. They were like bizarre. It's an old building. The walls were like 6 foot thick, and he actually turned that room into a recording studio. This is true. Back in the day, and he did stuff in there. Played his guitar and stuff like that. And he had a recording studio built in his own bedroom. Frankly, it was amazing. So we would go around the back, chop his window, and he'd open the window and we'd all climb in. this is what we'd do. And one time it was me and this other guy, Mike. We went over there and we chopped his window, and the guy in particular in the house was still awake. He was sitting there at his computer or something, and he let us in, and he said, hey guys, you know, I've been listening to some weird stuff all night. And I said, oh, what is it? He said, well, he said, I've realised that, you know how we've had problems in this house, he said, with the knocking sounds. And I said, yeah. He said, well, I've realised that if you acknowledge it, the knocking stops. Weird, huh? So, we sat there, kind of listening for a long time. And it was maybe 1 a.m. We're sitting there, drinking beer. And as I said already, these walls are like 6 foot thick to the outside. And somewhere in that building, bang, 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 like that. The house is asleep. The entire house is asleep. We're sitting there. I'm looking at the building where the building should end. It should end there. There's nobody There's nobody out there. We go out and look. We can see him. We can see through the window, for God's sake. It just this. And so all eyes looking at a particular part of the building. A few minutes later, bang, bang, bang. And then, this is what gets weird, it becomes faster. Rather than, or I should put it like, the space between where you heard like, and then there'd be a pause. Then it would get faster. The spaces in between would get shorter rather. So you do this. But the way to stop it was to stand up and just chop on the wall. And the noise would stop. And that was a weird experience in that house. Not the only thing, he experienced a lot of things. Quite often, there was a room on the way to his room. Small. It was originally some kind of storage, but it had a window. And he used to walk to it. And one time when he's walking past it, he just assumed what he was seeing was his aunt in that room. In the corner of his eye, he sees someone. And then by the time he'd reached his room door, he just realised his aunt wasn't there. His aunt was gone for the day. She's gone out shopping or something. So he went back and looked in, and naturally there's no one there. That was one of his experiences of it. Quite an interesting thing. And he actually had come to terms with the ghosts in the house, if you like. Like he, or ghost. He knew that if you responded to it, if you acknowledged the knocking, it stopped. So there's quite a lot of things like that. A lot of poltergeist activity also, and clock stopping, 2 a.m. Always a clock would stop for no reason. Always a clock. Sometimes middle of the night, other clocks would ring the wrong hours. Stuff like that. An old Singer sewing machine that would start moving by itself. You know, it was a pedal type. Thing would just start going. So quite a spooky old place he lived in. You know, some of it is his stories, but I certainly experienced the knocking. Certainly experienced that. Maybe twice in the house, but definitely I remember that night. It was very strange. And I assure you, there's absolutely no one there. Absolutely no one. You know, you're welcome to believe what you will, but, you know, there's some... If you go into these older houses, this is where it's going to happen. It's going to happen now. Acknowledge the sound. Seeking attention. Since I started talking about this stuff, just in the past week on here, I've had some weird experiences in this house in the past. There's nothing terribly bad, nothing terribly scary. Apparently there's an old lady ghost in this house, according to the previous owner. And there's a ghost. Cat. And I think I saw the cat, as I said already. But another thing I had for a while was I'd be in there. Now, we do have those issues with the electricity in this house, the old box. The boxes, these old houses were not built for modern living. They can go at any time. If they went out right now, it probably wouldn't be a ghost. It'd just be the box. But what is weird is the light in my toilet, which is in the landing here. Sometimes you're in there and the light just goes out. You could be in the shower and the light goes out. There's nothing wrong with it. The fuse box is fine. And then it comes on again. Very strange. But it only happens at particular times, and I just feel to myself, you know, it's like something... It's like, acknowledge me. That's what it feels like. When I came into this room a few minutes ago, just something fell over there. Just fell, for no reason. It's perfectly fine. And I caught it as it fell. Something I just put there safely the day before. And I thought, well, how did that manage to just leap off of there for no reason? So, you know, point is, you start messing with this stuff, you're going to find stuff. You're going to rake a few things. It's probably, if you want to believe in ghosts, and I believe this house is haunted, although I've never had any experiences with it. If it becomes an issue, I will exorcise the place, as I've done before, and remove any spirits from it. I'm told that the old lady who haunts the place is good-natured, so that's something. Like I said before, this house was actually owned by the Crowley family. I kid you not. I kid you not, what was that noise over there? I don't know if you heard that. I kid you not. This is owned by the Crawleys. Yeah, and this is actually a branch of the family of Aleister Crawley actually owned this house. They were the first owners of this house. And that's another fascinating fact. I don't know if you know, thankfully, but I've thought of doing some kind of seance Ouija board here. See what comes up. You know, this is normal to me. I mean, it would freak other people out, but in Scotland, you know, I've lived in places like that. I've stayed the night in very haunted houses. Quite mostly saw nothing. There's nothing happens. And occasionally something out of the blue. The Delta Queen on the Mississippi. It's not on the Mississippi now, but when it was on the Mississippi, I was on the Delta Queen. And we went ghost hunting, ghost busting on it. I have the films to show, prove it. So the ghost of the Delta Queen is Captain Mary B. Green. And we were on one of the decks shouting, Mary B. Green, make yourself seen. And this guy appeared wearing a very old uniform. We never saw him any other time. And this guy appears wearing an old-fashioned uniform. Walks ahead of us. That was, I never thought much of it at the time. Then we go around the corner at the back of the ship where the paddle is. This is like 1 a.m. perhaps. And there's a strong smell of cigars. One thing Mary B. Green did was she smoked cigars. And there's no one there. There's absolutely no one there. Everyone's asleep. You got to remember the people who go on the Delta Queen are like in their 80s or whatever, you know. It's weird. But that wasn't the weirdest thing. In the little bar, the other thing about Mary B. Green is she hated alcohol. And when you were in the little bar, up in the deck, occasionally the windows at the top would slam shut for no reason. But I think the creepiest thing I ever saw there was the rocking chairs on the deck. Every single one of them was motionless, stationary, except for one. And it was really rocking, really angry rocking. Oh, that was weird. But it wasn't the only one. In the actual cabin we had, the door used to slam itself shut for no reason. There's a toilet door. Takes you into a little toilet. I was uncomfortable showering in there. You go in, there's a little wash basin there, there's a little shower here. It's very small, very small. You feel even, you know, uncomfortable, boxed in. But trying to take a shower in it, I was like, it was creepy. I actually felt there was people and someone in there with me, to be quite honest. And sometimes you'd just be in the room and the door would just slam shut that door. And other times when the door was shut, it would open for no reason. It would just creep open, you know, between the beds. It was single, twin beds. So that's other creepy things here. And the reason I mentioned that is I was reading someone's posting earlier saying, nothing scary happens here. You know, this isn't Scotland. This is America. We don't have castles and scary castles and stuff. And I said, well, you know, you really do. You do. If you've got creepy places, creepy things happen. I mean, the thing about that boat in particular, people have decided to disappear off it. You know, people, elderly people, for some reason. I think there's at least one case of some old man deciding he never arrived at the other side, wherever they were going. Did he do it on purpose? Did he? I don't know. Was it a suicide thing? We don't know. We don't know. This is a boat that's been around since, God, the 1800s. Plying its trade on the Mississippi and other places like that. There's gonna be spooks. I would say the place is haunted. Definitely felt that when I was there.